Hello and welcome to Volume 131 of Capital Ideas Live. In today's issue, we'll discuss tax tips for your income tax return due in a couple of months. We'll find out more about the Smart Map program that is scheduled for the annual meeting. We'll talk to a person who traps animals, many of which are destructive to forest land, and we'll try to understand how the pellet industry may benefit you. This program is brought to you by the generous contributions of Forester Search, a service that makes it easier to connect landowners with consulting foresters. You can access the site through foresterssearch.com, or there's a link on this page, and you'll be given a roster of consulting foresters who can guide you through the next steps that you'll be facing as a forest landowner. I'm Hayes Brown with the Alabama Forest Owners Association, and I'll be your host for today's discussion. Tom Tart got goosebumps. That's what happened, according to an AL.com news story, when the Livingston mayor found out about a $175 million wood pellet mill that was planned for Sumter County. And we're pleased to welcome Rick Frederick from Enviva, the wood pellet producer in the Southeast and now in Alabama. Welcome, Rick.
Well, thank you, Hayes. I appreciate it. Good to be here.
How big is the pellet industry, and can you give us an idea of how big it is in relation to the overall wood products industry?
Sure. Well, I'll say this. The global wood pellet market is rapidly growing, and it is globally because, as you know, 100% of our products are shipped overseas. But some numbers I saw recently, by 2023, we're expecting the wood pellet market to reach 32.5 million metric tons per year. Now, you know, the wood pellet industry is a very small part of the larger established thriving forestry industry in the U.S. It's under 3%, only about 2.7% of wood that's harvested in the southern U.S. forest goes to the wood pellet industry. And Viva, we are the largest producer, but it's still a pretty small piece of the puzzle, but we think it's, you know, an economically important part of the forest products industry because we're providing an additional market for landowners.
Okay. What do you see as the future of the wood pellet industry in Alabama?
Well, for Enviva, we think the future is really bright, and we're excited about it. As you read the Mayor Livingston, Tom Tart's quote, we received in November our air permit from the state to construct the new facility in Sumter County, especially in Epps, Alabama, which is just north of Livingston on the Tom Bigby River. So we're planning to start construction mid part of this year, mid 2020. We've got some other permits that we've got to get taken care of, and we've got to complete all of our engineering. But you know, we're excited to get started up there and start shipping some pellets down the Tom Bigby River.
Well, the project's been noticed by a lot of people, including certain environmental groups, who are objecting to the location and the industry itself. What do you have to say about the concerns that have been raised about this plant?
Sure. Well, we certainly recognize there are some critics, and we know they're out there. I will say we've had tremendous and really strong support locally and across all the communities where we operate. I think some of our critics, while maybe they are well-meaning, they don't really understand the concept of managing working forests. So, you know, I'll just say that, you know, three things. We work with landowners to grow more trees. We work with rural communities to create really attractive, good-paying jobs. And we work with our customers to replace coal. I think today we've replaced over like 14 million tons of coal. And I want to reiterate that we only source fiber from land that's going to be returned to forest land. All of our sourcing regions have stable or growing forest industries, meaning for every tree, you know, that we harvest, there's at least one more, typically more, being planted. And we have the data and we're transparent about those numbers. So, you know, these groups that are out there, they believe the best form of forest management is just to do nothing or not, you know, not do anything at all, never cut down a tree. And we know better, and I think your listeners know better, that a managed forest that includes diverse markets for timber products, you know, is a healthier, larger, thriving forest. And at Enviva, we're, you know, we're excited to be part of the thriving forest community, and product inventory in the Southeast and specifically in Alabama.
Okay. Well, thank you, Rick. We appreciate that.
You bet.
This program is first aired in February, so it's not too early to be thinking about turkey season and also doing your taxes. Tammy Cushing is a frequent guest on tax topics, so naturally we wanted to check in with her at this time. Welcome back, Tammy.
Good morning.
Basis is one of those starting points when establishing what a capital gain, taxable gain is, and so what do you think a forest landowner needs to do about establishing basis?
Yeah, basis is one of those really super important topics that it never surprises me to see the number of people that aren't aware how important it is. It's going to reduce the taxable gain at the time of your sale. The Internal Revenue Code allows us to recover what we've invested, and so we're going to do that by proportionally offsetting our revenue using that basis. So to be able to do that, when you acquire the land, it's important that landowners allocate that basis among whatever assets they've acquired. So if they bought land and trees, and they need to allocate that purchase price and all the affiliated expenses between the land and the trees. And if somebody's listening and hasn't done that and is having a sale, it's not too late to back up and recreate that basis as of the time of acquisition. So it's super important to have that number.
Can you give us an idea of some expenses from a timber sale that can be deducted from the proceeds?
So obviously, having that basis number is going to be the first one. We want to make sure we're recapturing the proportionate amount of basis in relation to the amount of timber that was sold. But we're also going to be able to deduct the fees if a forester was used to help facilitate the sale, if they had the land cruised prior to doing the sale offering, which is something I would recommend, that you know how much you have before you sell it. That cruise expense would be part of the sale. And then any of the expenses associated with the actual harvest that the landowner paid. So this only matters if they actually paid the logger, if the logger's being paid by the mill, then that's not a deductible expense by the landowner.
Okay. Can you explain a little bit about reforestation costs, depreciation, and the qualified timber property?
Sure. Well, I'm going to start with that middle word, depreciation, and we don't think about depreciation with the trees. We think about depreciation with equipment. So that recovery of basis is done through depletion. It's kind of similar, but it only happens at the time of harvest. As far as reforestation, there's a great code section that allows landowners to deduct up to $10,000 worth of reforestation expenses each year on their qualified timber property. Any amount that goes over that $10,000, they can expense off over the next 7 tax years. And the impact of that means that at the end of that 7th tax year, they don't have anything left in the basis account, which would be a really good thing. They've recovered all that investment. So the expenses that we would use in this particular provision are going to include any of the site prep expenditures, planting, and the seedlings. And the great thing is because that's in the code and continues to stay in the code, we can take advantage of doing site prep in the fall in one tax year and planting in the next tax year. So, but that qualified timber property, that's something the IRS hasn't really defined. And so really it's kind of a gut check. If you've been managing it, a piece of property, you've got a management plan for it, then that's going to be your qualified timber property.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate that. SmartMap is a technology that can be used to make maps using GPS and GIS. It's actually a fun exercise, and it's useful, too. So we've invited Bo Broadbeck, who will be teaching a SmartMap course at the AFOA annual meeting in April. Hello, Bo.
Good morning. How are you doing?
What is SmartMap?
So SmartMap is an educational program that we developed at Auburn University Extension. It's not a piece of software, but an educational program that's looking to use smart devices. We know that almost everybody has an iPhone or an Android or an iPad, and they've become ubiquitous. Everybody seems to have one of these, And there's a number, growing number of geospatial apps that are available to landowners, to foresters, to be able to get out and map their properties. And so what we do with SmartMap is we introduce attendees to not only the technology that's available out there, but we provide hands-on training. So we have pre-selected a handful of applications and walk people through the process of what it takes to be able to use your smartphone to map your properties. And so it's a real valuable piece of technology because we all have it. We are taking it into the woods with us, whether we intend to or not. And so when you're out there and you run across a pine beetle spot as a landowner, you can, you know, drop a waypoint. You can share that information with your forester. And so with this class, we really kind of unveil this technology and provide some suggestions for some of the different apps that are out there. Because if you start looking at geospatial apps, there's literally just dozens of them out there. Some of them are better than others. And we've kind of gone through and looked at which ones would probably be most useful for landowners, some that might be more useful for larger foresters. And we allow people to kind of use this in our class, get a feel for this technology. We also, with SmartMap, introduce our audiences to unmanned aerial systems, or drone, better known as drones. This is kind of a new technology that has emerged over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years. Initially, it would cost tens of thousands of dollars to, you know, have a drone. They were very sophisticated to use, but really with drones becoming more useful and used for a lot of times recreational purposes, we're seeing the cost of this technology come down to a point where they might be accessible to landowners and certainly to resource managers. And so with our class, we, you know, we talk about the available drones that are out there, the different price points. And then we talk about how you might use that technology for mapping your property. You can use drones a lot of times for just getting up-to-date aerial images, get a bird's-eye view of your property.
If you're on the fence about attending your session, what's your pitch toward who should actually come to this?
You know, I think it's a real valuable class for both landowners and for foresters alike. For landowners, you know, a lot of landowners, I'm a landowner myself, and it can be daunting to look at, you know, the high cost of what geospatial technology cost at one time. And this is a real good alternative that, you know, with your smartphone, with an app, and maybe a relatively inexpensive GPS that pairs together, you really can have access to technology to build maps that can help build better management on your property and also be able to connect you to your resource professionals. So I think landowners are really probably one of the key audiences to this. But also I see that resource and professional foresters, you know, the large firms are going to have access to much more sophisticated technology. But some of the smaller consulting firms see a lot of value in these classes because it provides a low-cost alternative for them to be able to do some basic timber sale maps, some basic forest management maps. And so I think both of those audiences could benefit from this.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Val. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Another guest at the annual meeting is Mike Sieverig. He's a trapper, and it's a skill that predates firearms by a long shot. He'll be teaching a trapping course at the annual meeting, so we wanted to take a sneak peek. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Hayes. How are you doing this morning?
Why should trapping be important to landowners?
Well, with increase in populations of fur bearers, obviously there comes a number of associated problems. Beaver is the primary issue I think we're talking about right now. Beaver do a large amount of damage, not only to the timber industry, but to our infra systems through the roads and such within Alabama. And in other parts of the Southeast also, the tool of trapping is the best management tool you can utilize. Most of the traps, I know on the beaver traps, they are BMP or traps that have been put through a best management practice, so it's the most humane method to take those animals out.
Okay. What kind of impact do fur-bearing animals have on other wildlife populations?
Well, a variety of things, Hayes. Let's talk about just what kind of impact are they having on other populations, such as, say you're a landowner and you want a lot of turkeys if you're a turkey hunter. Well, the main problem is an escalating raccoon population in your area. You have to control the predators in order to get increasing game populations. Coons and possums are notorious nest predators, so we show them how to minimize the damage by taking some of the population out. A good management tool is just like deer hunting. You take deer out, it's no different. You have to take out some of the predators and animals that are causing problems.
Well, you'll be teaching a course at the annual meeting, so encourage people who are interested in learning more to attend your session. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's all the time we have for this issue. Our thanks go to Rick Frederick, Tammy Cushing, Bro Broadbeck, and Mike Severing. If you saw the State of the Union speech last week, you've heard of an initiative by the U.S. government to join the movement called the Trillion Tree Initiative. It's an initiative that seeks to plant a trillion trees worldwide. A bill will be introduced in Congress today. This bill also will seek to expand the use of wood buildings and wood products and will seek to monetize the carbon storing benefits of wood. But we would be well to note that large-scale planting of trees animated by government programs have contributed to the oversupply of wood and low stumpage markets. That's good for manufacturers, but not good for landowners. And planting a tree in order to save the planet is only one step away from never cutting a tree, because it is saving the planet. So be careful what you wish for. On behalf of the Alabama Forest Owners Association, I'm Hayes Brown. Thank you for joining us for this issue of Capital Ideas Live.